Good morning, everyone, and welcome back to another week here at the Damage Report. Fantastic Tuesday is what? It might become a thing. Francesca, how's it going?
Good. I ate so much over the 3-day weekend. I'm coming to you live from heaven. Nice. Look where I am.
It literally just go. It's an infinite white background. That's what it is at this point.
I've died and gone to heaven. I am in the Bay Area, and I had just the biggest, most delicious vegetarian burrito. And I miss that. You know, look, some people are taco people. I'm a burrito gal. And you know, when you have a burrito, you kind of look like Lil Nas X as we wait for his album to drop. Except I wait for other things. The point is this. Good morning, John. Good morning, Dragon Squad. So happy to be here.
Glad to have you here. I don't necessarily get the reference, but I am a burrito man, so I'm with you on that. My wife and I were debating tacos and burritos yesterday. But anyway, very glad to have you. She of the live events joins us now. I hear you had a very successful gathering.
It was so fun. So we were live in Portland last Thursday. You can listen and watch back at Franny Fio on my YouTube channel or the Bituation Room. And man, the Dragon Squad rolled deep. The Dragon Squad and Frantifa, they've had a little baby and she's awesome. And shout out to Portland, shout out to all the dragons that I met. Thank you for being so lovely, so awesome, so down, for being COVID safe. It was all very, very safe. We had such a good turnout, and I'm so grateful for the audience that the Damage Report has built. And if you're new to this show, just know that it is an awesome community, and John and everyone who works on it really, really do a great job. And I'm super happy to be part of this community as well.
You are a massive part of it. And we're actually getting a little bit of feedback from the audience, mostly about burritos. But so I am seeing people are saying that Francesca is blurry. And I'm looking at it, and she is a little bit blurry. But it's weird because I'm looking at in her Skype feed, she's not blurry. So I don't know exactly what's happening. Maybe we can look into it. But her actual shot looks very sharp. I get to experience it. None of you do. So that's
heaven has weird. Heaven has really low bad Wi-Fi. It's
That's
crazy.
True. They need to get more vaccine up there. Get the 5G going.
Yeah.
but anyway, thank you everybody for being here. We of course had a 3-day weekend because it was Labor Day, and Labor Day is great both seriously and ironically. Seriously, because we deserve that day off to recognize those who have fought, you know, for workers' rights and all that. And ironically, because workers get one day. What the hell? Seriously, why isn't there a Labor Day every month? Every week, one day, there's hundreds of days. The workers aren't one thing that's out there. They're everything. They deserve more than one day. How about Labor Month? 1 month off where we just chill. Good vibes. That's sort
of a 4-day work week. Anyway. We can solve this with a 4-day work week.
Yep. 100%. It should be every, we should have just invent a new day. No, actually, no, screw Mondays. Nobody likes Mondays. Call them Labor Day. That is the new Monday. It's Labor Day. Every week you're not allowed to work. And if you ask me to work, you have to work. How about that? I'm not asking you to.
We need a new day in the middle. Every time like the week gets too long, I always feel like it's Twensdar. Like my friends and I used to call it Twensdar, where it's just like, oh man, this is a real Twensdar. You know, you're like, what day is it? Twensdar should be a holiday, a Labor Day.
Yeah. Well, look, the primary good thing about Labor Day is that you get the 3-day weekend. But the, I think, underappreciated side effect is that you then have a 4-day week, which that's pretty good too. So anyway, I'm gonna be appreciating that. And by the way, your shot looks like it sharpened up. So maybe it was just the internet thing. Anyway, everybody, so we normally do our top 10 list on Mondays. We weren't able to do that because I wasn't gonna work. I will be doing a top 10 list, and in honor of the holiday, I will finally be getting around to the top 10 holidays top 10 list. So that will be coming up for our tier 2 and tier 3 members on YouTube very soon. But before that, we've got a lot to talk about, including the California recall election, all the insanity going on in Texas. There's a fast fashion story that I think is the craziest story I've read in months. It's ridiculous. And if you think I'm not gonna find some way to talk about the pop culture stuff going on this last weekend, I'm not gonna be specific, I wanna be vague. Well, you don't know me at all, because we're gonna be talking about it in our last half hour. So before we get to that though, if you wouldn't mind hitting the like button, sharing the stream, that'd be great. And if you wanna send us messages, tweets, comments, super chats, all that, we'll be reading those as we go along. And with all that said, Francesca, are you ready to do this thing?
Oh yeah.
Okay, it is crazy how bright that room is. I feel so dark by comparison. But anyway, let's jump into this thing.
When you mentioned that the UK was ahead of us, they were. Do you know that the slave owners were compensated? After they lost their quote unquote property, the government compensated slave owners.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and so when people talk about reparations, do they really want to have that conversation? Because like it or not, slavery was legal. And so their property, their legal property was taken away from them after the Civil War. So you can make an argument that the people that are owed reparations, and not only just black people, but also the people whose quote property, close quote, was taken away after the end of the Civil War.
That right there is Larry Elder, who's, you know, like a coin toss from being our governor here in California. So that's fun. So you can make an argument that the real people who suffered after emancipation were the slave owners. Yeah, I suppose you could. You could make an argument that like nothing spices up a weekend like getting infected with herpes. Do you have to though? Why would you do that? And why did I choose that specific example? But anyway, Francesca, he could be our next governor, because of course the recall election is now just 1 week away. And it appears that he's like the most likely, if the remove wins, he's probably the one who's gonna become the governor. What do you think about that and about his argument there?
He's not gonna become governor because everyone is going to get their effing ballot in the effing mailbox and gonna vote no, okay? We're just gonna do that right now after this show or as you walk to the mailbox to deposit your ballot, Californians. That's what we're gonna do. We'll talk about Newsom later. But in terms of his argument, like, first of all, it is so upsetting, the grift, the very yes, white supremacist grift that is involved by being a black American and sort of using that, like the fact that you're black to basically throw the entire history of black Americans under the bus and to turn your back on that community, to turn your back on the reality of slavery, Jim Crow, and everything that's, you know, continued on until today, redlining, police violence, etc. The list goes on, right? And what the argument he's making, it makes no sense. Why? Because he said slave owners were compensated when they lost their so-called property. Okay, so he says, by the same token, if you talk about reparations, let's talk about the slave owners. But the slave owners were compensated. So what are you talking about? If they already got paid, and then the former slaves themselves, right, or enslaved people have gotten nothing, then I think one of them sides we still haven't addressed here. Mm-hmm. So clearly, you're basically making a case for reparations. It's like saying, you know, well, we're going to Mars. I mean, by that logic, we should go to the moon. You ever think about going to the moon? It's like, yeah, bro, we did. Or do you not believe in the moon landing either?
Yeah. Yeah, look, so you, as you've pointed out, they were compensated. I got further compensation. They weren't all locked up for the rest of their lives because they probably should have been, because they knew what they were doing was about as immoral an act as is imaginable. And simply by virtue of the fact that they lived in a country where other horrendous people were in charge of the laws does not absolve them of the fact that it does not require the hindsight of the 21st century to know that what they were doing is wrong. Everybody knew back then that it was wrong, not just the millions of humans who suffered under the system, but all of those fighting to end it even then. There's this weird thing we do where we pretend that if something was long enough ago, well, they were basically cavemen. Nobody knew what was right or wrong. No, people knew that rape was wrong. They knew that murder was wrong. They knew that separating families was wrong. They knew that not compensating someone for their backbreaking labor was wrong. That's not new. It didn't start in the 80s or whatever. They knew it then. And to your point about like who he's meant to appeal to, I don't know. Maybe he believes every stupid, dumb word that he vomits forth. But I know the sort of people that like those messages, whether it's him saying it or it's Candace Owens. Huh, interesting. I didn't know that. Like that was her response to all that. There's an audience for it. It's a reliable audience. Sucks. I wouldn't want to pursue it, but they seem to be doing okay.
Yeah.
Anyway, any further thoughts about Elder before we turn to Newsom?
No. Let's turn to Newsom because
okay,
this is the horse we gotta stick with.
Yeah. Well, let's go to the polls actually, because Justin Barragona did tweet out some polls, and at one point the keep to remove polling had close to nothing. So if we bring this up, you're gonna see that back in the beginning of August, those lines, they were a touching. But now it looks like keep has started to win once again. And that might be connected to the fact that Larry Elder isn't just like, man, he had a skeleton in his closet. The dude had like multiple storage spaces full of skeletons. It was it's not, oh, he said something bad once. Everything he's said for decades has been bad. And that seems to be hurting him in the polling.
Yeah, no, I mean, and ultimately this is a slim minority of people who want the recall to go forward, right? You're talking about 10 million Californians and 1.9 of them, I believe, signed the petition to recall Governor Newsom. That is a slim minority, right? They're very active, they're really excited about it. So really the obstacle for Democrats, progressives, leftists, socialists, anarchists, anyone who doesn't believe in sliding further and further towards fascism, even if they don't like Governor Newsom and he needs to do a lot better, is understanding that it's just about turnout at this point. It's about actually turning out. And because thankfully we have voting by mail and everyone should have been mailed a ballot, it's a lot easier, right? The hard part, of course, is the entire recall process itself that I know we're gonna talk about in a little bit, but really, it is the recall in and of itself is a giant mulligan for Republicans. It's like, oh no, I don't like John Cox is running, who lost against Newsom in the first place. Republican who lost against Newsom. No, I don't like how the results turned out. This recall process started even before the lockdown or COVID was even, you know, a twinkle in Donald Trump's eye. Like that is what happened. They already wanted to recall Governor Newsom. And to be honest with you, right. And that's already gone forward. And to be honest with you, the other thing they don't like about Newsom is that he's done things like expand rights for undocumented immigrants. One of the things that happened when Arnold Schwarzenegger became president, when we recalled Governor Gray Davis, I didn't, I think I was too young to vote at the time. But when Gray Davis was recalled, is that Schwarzenegger ran as a Republican. And even though he didn't turn out to be as terrible for some communities, for the undocumented community, he revoked the rights for driver's licenses unless you were documented. Now, personally, I think that that's a bad thing. That is bad. I think undocumented people are people, right? No human being is illegal, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. That was something that the immigrant rights movement in California had to fight tooth and nail to claw back from that regression that happened, you know, back in the day or not so long ago. So there are real world consequences, even though Newsom absolutely is not doing enough on many key issues that we care about.
Not fans of Gavin Newsom or whatever, but like, not like these, not Larry Elder. I can't even tell you, like, here are the five things he'll do if he becomes, I have no idea. I don't think he knows either, but it isn't gonna be good. And I am not interested in finding out which particular crazy flavor of not good it will be. So anyway, things look okay in the polling for whatever that's worth. And I have no idea what the track record of recall polling actually is. So I will just say the recall date is September 14th. You have up until unfortunately today to request your mail-in ballot, so please do that. But actually, no, I'm glad that you brought up that screenshot. Let's bring that up because you mentioned Trump in this. QAnon fans think that the recall election will actually result in Trump being reinstated. And you know why? You know why they think that? I don't, because not today. I'm not gonna learn that theory, but understand that they believe that those two things are intertwined. I don't wanna know. I just don't, but anyway. But and to be clear, we've mentioned this before. One final fact about this is it's a two-part thing, this recall. You either vote to keep him or to recall him. And if the keep is more than 50%, then we keep him. If it's below that, then you get someone else because he cannot be on the ballot if that wins. And right now there's a lot of people running. It's like literally dozens of people. And the leading Democratic option is YouTuber Kevin Paffrath. I'm shocked to hear that. I'm sure he's more shocked to hear that.
Paffrath.
But basically it just, the keep has to win.
There is no Paffrath to governorship. I'm sorry. They're just, it's not gonna happen. But it is confusing. So instead of saying keep, even though I like that, I'm like, it's vote no. It's no on the recall. No on recall rather than vote to keep. It's vote no. And you can get your ballot in, I believe, on the 14th. You can also vote in person. Early voting is underway already, so you can easily go probably CaliforniaCA.gov and find out where your local polling place is. Yeah. You know, bring your aunties and uncles and your sisters and brothers, etc. You know, because it is really, really crucial that we do this. And it's to finish John's thought. I'm sorry, I interrupted. But you know, Elder could be installed with like 11% of the vote.
Yeah.
So that second question, no, there is not a strategy from Newsom's team. There is not a, there's not a good leftist candidate. They're not a good progressive candidate. There's not a good Democratic candidate to replace Newsom. So the idea is either leave that blank, vote for whomever you want, write in your own, write in your dog, write in Tuxedo Chitty, my cat, and and keep your fingers crossed and get out the vote. Because yeah, the whole process is completely undemocratic, and I think we have to look at actually rolling that back.
That, by the way, you should write that script because of weird loopholes in the California recall process. Tuxedo Chitty becomes governor. But anyway, and let me just also add, and this will be a tie-in for, we're gonna take our first break. When we come back, we're eventually gonna be talking about voting rights. So I cast my vote. My wife and I did. You know what happened? Our ballots showed up in the mail. We filled them out and we sent it back. And that was it. And that's exactly how easy every single vote should be in this country. And it can be, but a lot of people don't want it to be because they're not interested in that ease of voting. Anyway, we are going to take a break. We're going to respond to some of your comments. When we come back, we're going to be talking about Texas, abortion, and voting rights after this. Okay, everybody, let's jump back into the news. So we're now a few days into Texas effectively having outlawed abortion for the vast majority of women who will have no idea that they were even pregnant while still being legally allowed to exercise their constitutional rights in Texas. But don't worry, the Attorney General Merrick Garland sent this message out. Also, don't worry, we're not gonna read the whole thing, but let's bring this up. They say that while the Justice Department urgently explores all options to challenge Texas SBA, blah, 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 we're gonna be protecting women and we're gonna provide support from federal law enforcement when an abortion clinic or reproductive health center is under attack. They mean that very specifically, we will not tolerate violence against those seeking to obtain or provide reproductive health services. Yeah, okay, so here's the thing. There's under attack and there's under attack. So Merrick Garland is responding to all of what happened in Texas by saying, if they try even more to stop you from exercising your rights, we'll do something. Okay, I guess, you know, Biden said he was going to fight the removal of the eviction moratorium and then they gave up on that, like basically without saying anything. So I don't know, Francesca, like hearing from Biden or from the Attorney General that they're gonna be protecting women when right now there's no protection, their rights have been taken away. It just feels so, it feels performative, it feels pointless.
Yeah, I mean, how? What are you doing? I mean, it's effectively, it feels kind of like the Uber Lyft stuff, but even less like, oh, we're gonna, you know, provide. If you do get sued, Uber driver, we'll help you with the lawsuit. And yeah, that feels nice, but it is also, let's remember, incredibly performative from a corporation that relies on, you know, a gig economy. They are no heroes, they are no saints. Plus, who actually wants to be involved in a lawsuit anyway for so-called aiding and abetting an abortion? The entire law is bogus. You have to look at this from the federal level, from an executive order level. Like, what would Trump do? I'm sorry, but what would Trump, if he hated something that was going on in a blue state, what would he do from the top? And that's the way that Democrats and this president need to think more about, you know, what can we actually try and put forward? Is it expanding the court? Is it doing something that Senator Elizabeth Warren wanted to do, which is enshrining abortion rights in the Constitution rather than just leaving it to, you know, Supreme Court precedent? Is it giving a lot more money and promising a lot more funds to some of these organizations that are on the front lines doing this work, still making sure that women get safe access to abortion? And because that is the entire thing, abortions will still happen, but the people who get them will more frequently die of that procedure, right? Yeah. Will die because they are administered it incorrectly, because the black market, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So, like, you know, there are very concrete things we can do. And it's the same with labor. It's the same with everything. You know, it's how much are you actually serious about protecting workers, women, and the environment? Because you've got to do more than just issue these statements.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you have to, if you want to actually reverse what's being done, if you actually want to protect the women, if even, let's say, you know, forget all that stuff, you know, that you being consistent with what you say your values are, blah, blah, blah. If you just want to not lose your majority and lose the presidency, then you should probably do something. But they're not with the eviction moratorium, and they're not when it comes to abortion in Texas right now. And we're talking about this in Texas. Well, that's gonna become quaint very soon, because these are gonna pass in a whole bunch of other states. So, and who knows? Maybe there'll be a challenge. Maybe the Satanic Temple will do a challenge to the law. And the Supreme Court 6 months from now will say, hey, we just needed time. We're totally striking it down. And maybe not, maybe very much not that will happen. And so we get to be frustrated by the Democrats who are in power. This is not a thing where, hey, everyone, look at the bad things that are happening. Everybody needs to rally and elect some Democrats. No, we already did that. We did that before the new bad stuff. And so they should do something. And as you know, we'll jump ahead briefly. So, for instance, Elie Mystal is a friend of the show. He said they should put boots on the ground to protect constitutional rights. For instance, you could fund abortion trucks that go in, these federal like things that would like be mobile clinics or something. Adrian Lawrence had talked about the possibility of doing it on military bases. There are 100% things you could do. And that's the minor, easy stuff. You could get rid of the filibuster. You could pack the court. You could recognize that the Senate is not what people believe it is, that the Supreme Court is not what it's supposed to be. None of these are representative bodies, if they ever were, and they weren't. You could do something about that. They're not willing to do it. And so what are we supposed to do? Just wait the next couple of years and find out how bad things could get before it finally triggers some sort of action commensurate with the threats that we're facing? Mm-hmm. Is there a line that would trigger that for Biden? Nothing about his ideology tells me that there is. So how much pain and suffering are we willing to allow? Until 2024, we roll the dice, hope we get a member of the squad or something.
You know, and even I misspoke recently, even I misspeak, but you know, abortion is a constitutional right right now. The idea that Warren was floating and the idea that we need to take seriously is a federal law that prohibits any kind of infringement on Roe v. Wade, which is already constitutional. It should be. I mean, that's sort of a given, but this is an additional federal law. And again, like you're saying, we have a majority in the Senate to pass something like that, right? But is Kyrsten Sinema gonna backtrack now? Right? Like, who knows where she lands on all this? Wasn't that the whole point, to show that we can like come together and do this, and like Democrats can stick together if we give them what they wanted on the infrastructure bill? So something needs to get through. We need to actually like use this to our advantage. And you're absolutely right that it's not the Republicans are gonna win necessarily in the midterms. I've been very reticent that like, how, in what world, like, you know, Congress people and senators openly, you know, allowing their constituents to die off from a mass pandemic and not taking protections, giving them the protections they deserve. I don't see that. But what I do see is a large voter depression in terms of turnout. If Democrats are not able to deliver on any of these kinds of things, and this is a perfect opportunity to do that, perfect opportunity to flex your muscle, having the majority in the Senate. If they're not able to deliver, you will see, you're going to see them lose seats, but not because the Republicans are gaining, but because Democrats don't feel inspired to come out and vote if they're not willing to fight for us.
Yeah. Yeah, and like there's you're totally right. So first of all, let me mention, just because you mentioned Kyrsten Sinema, like her tweet about like Happy Labor Day. That ruins a 3-day weekend right there, because she knows what she's doing. It's just, she's trolling us. That's fun. You have professional trolls on both sides. But anyway, they have multiple levels that you could reassure us that you actually will do something. So big structural changes, like expanding the court, smaller things like once again modifying the filibuster, something that's been done multiple times. It wouldn't even be new. We're also in infrastructure week. What do you know? They're putting together the bill. Let's make sure that's good. Or, you know, for instance, the easy, super easy stuff that you can do totally on your own, like canceling student loan debt. Now, these are not, it's not a like a gold statue and a bag of sand. You can't swap one for the other. But you can at least show us that you're willing to do something and that you recognize how power works. So the right creates a bounty system to hunt down people helping women exercise their rights. And then on the other hand, Biden says, well, we're looking into whether I can cancel federally backed student loan debt. We have a commission. It's meeting for 6 months. I don't know. I wonder what will happen. These are not equal things. They're not equal things. And so, I'm so frustrated with Biden. How often do you even hear anything from Biden or from the Democrats? Seriously, the government has disappeared. But let's go to some other.
Or for the vice president. I'm sorry. Like, just to say, like.
Oh, I don't even know what she's up to. Like, I haven't heard from her in months.
Don't I look like one of those like 80s like drawings, you know, where it's like very, very light, like pencil, where it's kind of like it's all white and then you go, shh, 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 shh. I'm about to go into like the Take On Me song. Take me on. I apologize. It's so bright in my room.
Anyway, it's getting brighter, by the way. I'm a little bit worried that you're about to be consumed.
Oh, I'm about to disappear. Anyway. No, I just think that this is a perfect opportunity for our vice president, the first female vice president this country has seen, to take a stand on abortion rights beyond just statements, beyond, you know, shareable memes on Instagram. This is a moment to propose legislation. This is a moment to actually maybe even cajole the president into doing something. It's a moment to make your mark and your legacy if you are hoping to secede President Biden. If you're gonna be the next person in line, then show up for women, show up for people, show up for reproductive rights.
Totally, 100%. Now, really fast, other news on Texas. First of all, the city council in Portland, Oregon is voting on Wednesday on an emergency resolution that would ban the purchase of goods and services from Texas. It would also bar city employees from traveling to the state until they get rid of their abortion law or it's overturned in court. It's a small thing, kind of nice though. Finally, how is Abbott doing? Well, he's taken away women's rights and he is perfectly fine with everyone dying from COVID. So still pretty well considering. 41% of state residents approve of his job performance. Meanwhile, half, 50% said they disapprove of the governor's leadership. So 41%, he's taking their rights and watching them die. And 4 out of 10 are like, yay, more of this, please. Anyway, only 35% believe the state is headed in the right direction. Man, imagine a conversation with those people. I don't want one. But anyway, that's Texas. Any other thoughts about Texas before we move to voting rights, Francesca?
I mean, shout out to Portland once again. First they host me, now they do this. Ted Wheeler. Ted Wheeler is watching his butt. He's watching his butt. He's messing up mostly, but he's watching his butt. Clearly, he's scared of y'all. Keep him scared.
That's true. That's true. And hey, your cool city, but maybe your police could do something about the Proud Boys and all that. No, they're
back. Like, no, they don't intervene. About that.
No, very hands off.
They've defunded the police.
Yeah. Why are you importing Proud Boys? You're not going to import barbecue sauce, but you're importing Proud Boys. Anyway. Okay, let's jump to other news. All year we've been talking about the various bills that mainly Republicans are passing to make it more difficult for people in a number of different states to vote. And there are a lot of them, more than you might think. But there's also efforts to increase access to voting. Now, these things, of course, do not cancel out or anything like that. But I want to take a broad look at what's going on. And the Washington Post, who I'm going to criticize in just a little bit, has done a good job, at least in their visualizations of this. So if you take a look here, you're gonna see where voting laws have been made more accessible in green, more restrictive in red, or a combination of both. And it's interesting, it's like, it's exactly what you'd expect. The blue states have green, the red states have, I'm gonna say, what is that? An auburn, a burnt sienna perhaps? And some of the swing states and red states have done both. But the reason I point this out is there are states that are making it easier to vote, and that's this year. This is not in the run up to the 2020 election. So a total of 41 state laws enacted this year decreased voter access, 102 increased access, 26 were neutral, and 53 were mixed or unclear in their effects, which by the way is way too many laws about voting being passed in like a 6 month period. 2,600 election related bills were introduced overall. That's a lot. But anyway, we rightly, I know, focus on those who are stripping away your ability to vote. But in some places, it's being made more accessible. That's kind of nice. But as of right now, roughly 55 million voters live in states that have tightened election laws. This includes Texas, when Governor Abbott signs the law, which is expected to either today or a little bit later on this week. 70 million live in states that made voting easier. So it's a bit of a mixed bag, Francesca.
I hate the Electoral College, and this is a good reminder of why I hate the Electoral College. Because I'm like, ooh, cool, yay, North Dakota, you don't matter. Like, you don't matter, and I'm sorry, ooh, all of the East Coast, you don't matter. Are there more people over there? Yeah, yeah, but I only care about Arizona.
Mm-hmm. Where it's become more difficult, and Texas where and Florida.
Where it's become more difficult.
Yeah, Texas and Florida in theory could go blue, but less likely now. And hey, Georgia just did briefly, and then they tightened up voting laws, making it more difficult. And there's even Iowa and all that, and we'll get to Ohio in a second. But I want to run through a bit of what was done. Arizona now requires voters who do not cast a ballot at least once every 2 years to respond to a government notice to remain on the state's popular permanent early voting list, which determines who receives mail ballots. Another new law strips power from Democratic Secretary of State Katie Hobbs and provides money for post-election recounts. So the people who oversee the elections are, if they're Republicans, being empowered, if they're Democrats, being stripped of their powers. And we're getting ready for more audits, because they've done those in multiple states and nothing has been shown to have been done improperly. But why not waste more time and money if that's what the base wants? Florida now requires voters to renew mail voting applications every 2 years and submit a form of identification as part of the process. The new law also gives partisan election observers more access to the ballot counting process and dramatically curtails the use of drop boxes because they're too convenient. We gotta get rid of them. Similarly, Georgia now prohibits the unsolicited mailing of absentee ballot applications and requires voters to submit identification for their request to be approved. The new law also strips certain powers from the Secretary of State, adds restrictions on the use of ballot drop boxes, and prohibits providing food or drink to people waiting in line to vote, which is, I think, the pettiest law that has been passed in our entire lives, actually. Finally, Iowa shortened the application period for mail ballots and barred election officials from proactively sending application forms to voters. It also shortened the early voting period and voting hours on election day. You know, to fight fraud, you reduce the number of hours you can vote on the day where you can vote. For some reason. Duh. Anyway, so we're gonna get into Ohio in a second, but Francesca, thoughts?
This is
impression, emotions, I don't know, what do you got?
I mean, here's the thing, we need to abolish the filibuster and pass the For the People Act, for the love of God. Like, states' rights, yeah, I guess, but no. You know what I'm saying? When it comes to voting, when it comes to the democracy, when it comes to electing the next president, when it comes to the fact that we still have the Electoral College and our entire hopes and dreams rest on, you know, a few sheep in the prairies of, I don't know, Arizona doesn't have prairies, but you know what I'm saying? Just a few agave plants who probably have voting rights there at this point. I am so desperately worried that we need to actually enshrine this, just like we need to enshrine abortion rights and reproductive rights into law. We need to make sure that you cannot pass and create these laws, right? And thanks to the Supreme Court gutting the Civil Rights Act, the Civil Rights Act, which protected at least Southern states from having their voting rights rescinded and shortened and trampled. This has been the plan. The right has had a plan. They've had a plan to overturn Roe v. Wade. They've had a plan to overturn voting rights. They know that it is about minority rule, and they know exactly who are the people who are not gonna get, let's say, the notice every 2 years. Ooh, renters. Renters who move often, who cannot afford where they're living in these crazy gentrified areas. What about people who, let's say you stop voting at 5 o'clock, right? What about people who work till 9? What about people who work till 7? What about people who have long commutes? They know it is workers, it is people of color, it is young people, it is people who are more precarious economically, who this more disproportionately affects. And that is the plan, and it's so bald-faced. And I just wish we had Democrats in the White House who took this seriously.
Everything you said was 100% right, and they're doing it, and they're doing it all over, and we know that, and so we're good. We understand the right wing on this. They're bringing it to Ohio. It's really bad. I'm not even gonna read the graphics. It's the same thing. It's just really bad, and it makes it a lot harder for people to vote. The sort of people that you talk about. But
what? Say it in a spooky voice, though. If you say something bad, sad, just say it in a
But now it's on the Democrats. Will they do anything? They're not. Months and months have passed. They didn't start doing this in July. They did it instantly, as soon as the new year came. And the Democrats haven't done anything. And as of right now, they won't. You're not gonna get one Republican senator to sign on for the People Act. I don't even know that you get 50 Democrats to sign on to it because of people like Manchin and Sinema. And so they're going to allow it. The right to vote is being stripped away. The ability to compete in this ridiculous circus of the Electoral College is being manipulated even worse than it already was. And the Democrats are allowing it to happen. Screwing over the people who turned out in record numbers last year to put them in office. There is a different path. They could get rid of the filibuster, pass something like for the People Act, start actually passing legislation. And I know what the response always is, but then the Republicans can do anything with whatever they want when they get in office. Well, let's see if they get in the office after the Democrats actually do something, actually deliver. Why would the people vote for the Republicans if the Democrats were actually solving their problems? Setting aside, of course, that the Republicans already do whatever they want with the filibuster intact. So, incredibly frustrating. It's coming to Ohio. There's going to be dozens more bills like this just this year alone. They'll be passed and in effect in time for the midterm elections, manipulating the results of those elections, making it even more likely that the Republicans will take control of the House and the Senate, manipulating the outcome of the 2024 election as well, and making it far easier to have, if they want, audits and the attempts to decertify and all of that. We'll be covering it. You'll be hanging out and we'll be broadcasting. As all this is going on, and we'll know that years earlier, we were ready for it.
We'll be on the streets, and we will be fighting this tooth and nail, and we'll be making them care. Look, the window in this it feels like the window on climate change, John. And I know that is something we deeply care about, and everyone does. But the window is so small. It is such BS to say, oh, well, when the shoe is on the other foot, it won't be anymore. Because they've rigged the entire system, so the shoe will never be on the other foot. So they will always win. So how dare you come out with that BS argument that like, oh, well, when they're in power, they're always gonna be in power. This is our last chance to not skew even the democratic playing field. This is the last chance to save democracy. This is not like we're not playing like volleyball here, yo. The ball's never coming back.
Okay. We're gonna take a short break. And then when we come back, we've got Lindsey Graham. Anyway, okay, well, we'll get through it together. And there is some fun news coming up a little bit later on, so get ready for that. But we'll be back after this. Okay, let's close out this hour the only way we know how, by fighting back against Lindsey Graham's BS. We have just barely left Afghanistan. It's been a few days, but not a lot of people in positions of power in the media and in politics are happy about it. They liked it. They liked the money going to military contractors. They liked the cushy gigs advocating for never-ending forces in places like Afghanistan and Iraq. And they're chafing already at the new situation. Here's Lindsey Graham being interviewed on the BBC about what is inevitably going to happen from his point of view when it comes to Afghanistan.
Here's my point. Whether you like Trump or not, whether you believe it's Trump's fault or Biden's fault, here's where we're at as a world. The Taliban are not reformed. They're not new. They have a view of the world out of sync with modern times. They're going to impose a lifestyle on the Afghan people that I think is going to make us all sick to our stomach. But most importantly, they're going to give safe haven to Al-Qaeda, who has ambitions to drive us out of the Mideast writ large and attack us because of our way of life. We will be going back into Afghanistan as we went back into Iraq and Syria. To the
Are you seriously think the United States will once again, in a foreseeable future,
yes,
put troops back into
we'll
Afghanistan?
We'll have to, because the threat will be so large. Why did we go back to Syria and Iraq? Why do we have 5,000 troops in Iraq today? Because of the caliphate rising, projecting force outside of Iraq, killing Americans, killing the French, attacking the British. So yes, it will be a cauldron for radical Islamic behavior. You cannot deal with this over the horizon.
Okay, so he's saying it's inevitable, Francesca, and he seems so broken up about how we might have to invade again. He just hates the idea of it. Why? Because cauldron, because Islam, because threat. We have to be everywhere because of the threat. We should never think about why we might be threatened, what might be producing these things. We should just keep doing whatever we're doing. And if we ever feel scared as a result of it, we should do whatever we want to do then. It's worked brilliantly for the past couple of decades. And if Lindsey Graham has his way, and maybe he will, maybe his buddy Trump will be president again in a couple of years, they're eager to go right back in there. What do you think about that?
I mean, quick follow up, Lindsey. Are you banking on going back into Afghanistan? Because it kind of sounds like you want there to be more acts and attacks of terrorism. No, are you? Do you have friends in the private security industry? You homies, when's the last time you had brunch with Eric Prince? Cool. Yeah, last Wednesday. That's what we thought. It's almost like you're rooting for the terrorists because you want us. That would allow you to make good on this promise of sending troops back and children who are not yours to go back and die for some BS, right? Mm. And this is another thing we need to follow up with all his ridiculous line of thought is, how did ISIS form in the first place? Let's think about that. What did, this is not ancient history. This is because when you invade and occupy and pit warring factions, religious factions deliberately pit them against one another, as United States Army did in Iraq, ISIS is what happens. When you arm tribal leader, when you arm warlords, when you sort of willy-nilly just like ally yourselves with terrible people, that's what happens. And then, this is an added bonus. You give everyone a beautiful political cause, which is let's get rid of the Americans. Mm-hmm. Amazing. It's a self-fulfilling prophecy. It never ends. The weapons contractors get richer. ISIS recruits more people. It kind of makes you think they're on the same side because mm-hmm. they're both rooting for more war. So, I mean, honestly, this is the
politicians
one area.
Get money.
Politicians
get money. With that money, they suffer no consequences. They get cushy gigs outside of politics when they're finally done with it. It works well for them, not everybody, but for them.
It takes, I'm sorry, but I hate to say this, but President Biden had some real BDE with the Afghanistan pullout, which I know is a weird way to phrase it. The point is this, I stand by this president over his decision to leave Afghanistan. That's not an easy thing to do. It's easy to escalate war. It's easy to send other people's children to die in war. It's not easy to say, we've done enough, we're scaling back. Now, I'm not saying that Biden won't, you know, step into the legacy of Obama, which was expanding drone strikes. And by the way, Trump expanded drone strikes even more than Obama did. We just don't talk about that. But it's really important that we hold this president accountable to say, not only are you withdrawing from Afghanistan, but stop drone striking civilians. Stop, like that is going to give more fodder and more cause for more extremism. And if you say you're against that, then stop.
Yeah. Well, look, your diagnosis is obviously right. And all it takes a person to come to the conclusion that you've come to is just watching everything that's been happening for 20 years. But he has existed for those 20 years. How much has he learned? Well, let's see. He said in that video we showed you, they attack us because of our way of life. No, that was stupid 20 years ago. Like, that's not how it works at all.
Yeah, but you don't know how Lindsey Graham's living now.
That's true.
You don't know how he's living.
I don't. It's not like
they hate me because I make a real big, large banana float sundae. It's a banana float and a sundae at once. And then I watch Real Housewives for 7 hours straight while holding the Bible.
I don't like
that. And they hate that. They hate the banana and the sundae, and they hate sprinkles. They hate the sprinkles. Have you ever seen the Taliban eat a sundae with sprinkles? That's why they hate us, and that's why we have to go back in.
I like the impression, but I'm too angry right now, because it is such obvious BS. And I guess the guy at the BBC had too many other things to ask about. Like, you can't ask about everything, but I don't know why. Like, the idea, it is so childish, the idea that they're sitting in Afghanistan and they're like, did you see America? They just eat cinnamon buns like as a meal. It's ridiculous. They have a whole restaurant that just sells cinnamon buns. I'm gonna kill them. Nobody does that. Nobody thinks like that. They persecute their own people for BS. Yes, they do that. And we do, by the way, as well. Nobody. And so, like, if your dumb cousin said that, it would be annoying enough. If your dumb senator said that 20 years ago, it would be annoying enough. But to have them still saying the exact same thing they said to get us into the war that we've been in since before some of the people watching this program were even born is insanity. And they're powerful. Lindsey Graham is still a senator. He still has power. He doesn't need to know anything or understand anything, but he's still saying the same things.
Yeah.
Now, there's a little bit more. I want to play this next video and then we'll give you our thoughts. Here's his solution to what's going on.
Here's my solution. Help the resistance in the Panjshir Valley. The Taliban will not be able to govern Afghanistan. They're hated by the Afghan people. What's going to happen over time is you're going to see the resistance rise. ISIS will come after the Taliban large, and the entire country is going to fracture in the next year, creating a perfect storm for Western interests to be attacked. You can do one of two things. You can say, that's no longer my problem. Let it build and get hit, or hit them before they hit you.
Oh, good. Oh, we'll just do this and the Taliban will fall apart in a year. It'll be a perfect storm. Okay, good. Oh, so why didn't we do that? Like with the 4 years that Trump, it's so stupid. They're just saying the exact same things they were saying in 2000.
He just said, we wait for the West to get attacked. That if the Taliban is allowed to fall, that it would be great because then there is more susceptibility to Americans and other Western folks to be bombed, killed, maimed. And then that would give us a perfect excuse to go back in. That is exactly what he's saying. He wants there to be more terror attacks on the United States. That is what they're banking on. It is so cynical and evil and scary. And then the last thing I'll say is, look,
super fast.
Trump released a bunch of ISIS-K members from Afghan prisons, convinced the Afghan president. Why don't we talk about that? That directly contributed to the attack that we already saw.
Great point. Yeah. We'll see if he gets his way. They're going to be in power again. So we'll find out. Maybe we'll reinvade. Anyway, that's all the time we have for linear audience. Thank you for watching. If you're on Twitch and YouTube, we do have more news though. We're gonna take a short break. We'll be back after this.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Adirola. I'll see you soon.